even if they passed to Europe. And by the end, I was able to talk to some border guards, which was the most difficult, of course, because it's a military force. And they are, some of them feel guilty, but many of them feel in right to do what they are doing. So it is not black and white situation, all of that. And, you know, I was also asking myself how big role the racism is playing in that kind of the, you know, of the reception of that crisis by the Polish population.
And you clearly show it by comparing it to the incredibly humane approach of the Polish government to receiving the millions of Ukrainians after Russia invaded Ukraine as people were fleeing for their safety. You compare that to what Poland has done on the border with Belarus to the refugees.
Yeah, that is very instructive, that double standards. But we have to say that that we cannot simplify it. It's not only racism which plays the role here. It is also the closeness to the Ukraine, the fact that it happens just behind our border, that in Poland lives big Ukrainian diaspora, the workers, the fact that we have common enemy, because Putin is also our Polish enemy and
threat. We're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to do part two of this interview and post it online. Agnieszka Holland has been our guest. Her new film, Green Border, premieres tonight in New York. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermin Sheikh.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
I'm Mr. KBOO.FM. Them should know it's accurate. Kabaka Pyramid say, watch your step, you know what I mean?
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We are KBOO's most listened to radio talk show at 8 a.m. on Fridays when we are on, and you can never, ever take that away from us. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea Billings.
Hello and good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy post-solstice.
Do you feel different?
I do.
Okay, great. I love that.
How about you?
It's hard to say if I chalk it up to the solstice or, you know.
You're feeling sweatier?
No.
Oh.
Oddly enough. Are you?
I am, yeah. Okay. That's the solstice.
Solstice equals sweat, folks. We know that. Yes, this is The Gap. We like to do a two-parter type of program. Today we have a news roundup for you in the first half, and then we'll get into our community question around 8:30 or so. So sit tight, okay? Be ready for it, because we want to talk to you. News roundup? Well, I mean, sorry. Do we need more pleasantries?
Yeah, why not? Always do a little. Just going right into it.
Sorry. I'm just.
See, you have changed since the solstice. You're just way right into business these days.
I'm just like, well, I'm in the driver's seat in the air room right now. Mm-hmm. So
we're different. It's a different location.
It's a different location. Yeah. We're looking right at each other as well. Like we're not usually directly across. Which again, is this something that the listeners can tell? No.
Maybe they can. We don't know.
Oh, okay.
They're like something's different. We feel like you're looking at each other straight in the eyeballs 2 feet apart from one another.
A little bit too much eye contact in this radio show, we could sort of tell.
We hear Tammy sweating. Anyways.
Ew.
News roundup. Yes, no interview today. And the community question down the line at the bottom of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Huge news. Massive. I read this last week and I was like, man, I'm not even going to bring this up for the Friday show because all the news, everyone's going to be talking about this. Not so much. Shocking. Last week, Reuters revealed shocking covert online misinformation campaign led by the Pentagon of the United States. This massive psyops was aimed at discouraging people in the Philippines from taking the Chinese-manufactured COVID vaccine. And remember, this was while the U.S. government was urging us all to take precautions and fanning the flames of division with phrases like a pandemic of the unvaxxed. They were straight up promoting mis- and disinformation about COVID vaccines for the sake of, drumroll, profit.
Damn it. I always hope we're going to drumroll for something better than profit.
What else could it be? And so when I read this, I was like, okay, I if it wasn't from Reuters, I don't know if I would have taken it with a grain of salt, but mm-hmm. This is bombastic. This mm-hmm. is insane. This is, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And so I had to send it over to you, Althea, and you were just as shocked as I was.
Just as shocked. Shocking news.
It is shocking. This is actually like shocking news.
It sounds like we're like trying to be salacious, but this is wild.
This is like stuff that they're going to make movies out of this. But anyways, we can start getting into the actual nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
You want to get in or you want me to do the background?
Well, yeah. Give us a little bit of context about what's going on. Obviously, when you say PSYOP, it sounds like such a bad thing. It's but explain.
Good kind.
Right. Yeah. But like talk about, you know, what was going on there.
From this article, which again, I'm shocked that it's still on. I was like, yeah, they're going to have to take it back, or they're going to have to add some caveats or some edits or some notes. Not at all. So in May 2020, China announced that they'll be developing a vaccine that would be made available, quote, as a global public good, as in they want to ensure that vaccine accessibility and affordability in developing countries was a thing, that people that were living in countries that couldn't afford the expensive vaccines could get them.
Mm-hmm.
Sinovac was a primary vaccine available in the Philippines for about a year until U.S.-made vaccines became more widely available in the early 2022.
Mm-hmm.
From the article, in spring of 2020, so in that same time when China was announcing this, a special ops commander Brigada, that's capital B, so I'm not sure if that's a name or a place. It's a possessive noun.
Hmm.
Turned a cadre of psychological warfare soldiers and contractors in Tampa to counter Beijing's COVID efforts.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds like science fiction.
It sounds like speculative fiction. You're like, okay, dial it in. Who would even want to read about COVID?
So, essentially, because China and other countries are competitors of the United States, they wanted to, and part of the way that America gets its influence around the world is helping nations that are developing.
Mm-hmm.
And once we did have, and remember Operation Warp Speed and you know, developing all these vaccines, and all of it was around the idea that Americans are going to get inoculated first. America first, America first, America first.
Yeah.
It placed no restrictions on what pharmaceutical companies could charge developing countries for the remaining vaccines that were not used by the United States. This deal allowed companies to play, quote, hardball with developing countries, forcing them to accept higher prices. China wanted to give vaccines for free or for very, 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 very cheap for those developing nations. The United States was like, we can make money off of this.
Yeah.
And so they started a full-on disinformation campaign mm-hmm. on X, Twitter, all the meta platforms. So that includes Instagram. And it's like some pretty insane type of memes. They were saying that there was like gelatin in the Chinese manufactured vaccine, and so it's not halal, and they were like, the images are like, just, they look like political cartoons from like 2001, you know. Yeah. The PSYOPs can do whatever they want, but it's just so silly. Like, it was just, yeah, so it's like straight up misinformation. Not to say like people are silly for falling for it, but it's a concerted
disinformation campaign by the US government in the Philippines and also in like Kyrgyzstan and some of the
like Central Asian
countries. Yeah, there's a quote in here. Can I pull from it? So this is from the article. A senior U.S. military officer directly involved in the campaign in Southeast Asia told Reuters, quote, "We didn't do a good job sharing vaccines with partners," meaning like the U.S. didn't share the vaccine. "So what was left to us was to throw shade on China's." So because of this, I'll say it, bad America First policy. The only option, and then there's all of this, there's a lot in this article as well about how it wasn't coordinated, like a coordinated response across the U.S. government. So, right, this started under Trump, but there's a secret order.
It's clandestine. It's like truly...
Typically, if you're going to do anything, you know, if the Pentagon wants to conduct an operation in a foreign country, they have to talk to the State Department about it. And they have to kind of like be on the same page. But there was this secret order that was signed that elevated, then Secretary of Defense Mark Esper in 2019 signed a secret order that paved the way for the launch of this campaign. The order elevated the Pentagon's competition with China and Russia to the priority of active combat, enabling commanders to sidestep the State Department when conducting PSYOPs against those adversaries.
In a case of emergency, you can do whatever, basically. So if you elevate it to an emergency, you can do anything you want.
Right. And this is secret, so nobody knows about it. But also, like, we're talking about China. We're not talking about the Philippines or these Central Asian nations.
Right.
So, I mean, it's awful seven ways from Sunday, but...
And just for clarification, people did die from this. This isn't like...
Oh, yeah. Reuters didn't want to speculate on how many, but...
It's... continuing on. And just this, it just continues on. Facebook. Then Facebook got the call. And they approached the Pentagon in summer of 2020 saying, hey, we're getting like some weird, shady looking, what we think is military, you know, PSYOPsy Facebook posts. Yeah. What's up with this? And also they say, and I quote, Facebook workers had easily identified military's phony accounts, according to three former U.S. Officials and other persons familiar with the matter.
They're all in Tampa, apparently. There's like several hundred accounts that are, that, you know, are on Philippine Twitter
and
operated from one building in Tampa.
And again, this is so. And Facebook was saying that, you know, obviously you're violating Facebook's terms of conditions.
Can't do that, turns out.
And remember, they were giving Facebook such a hard time about mis- and disinformation.
Cambridge Analytica.
And and then during the pandemic, when people showed any kind of skepticism or any kind of fear or anything, they're saying, oh, well, we're going to shut you down. Mm. Meanwhile, actively paid for contractors doing the same thing as and it's one thing if you and yourself, like, my personal opinions as a civilian is that I A, B, and C.
Yeah.
But to have a concerted, covert military effort is completely different. And they're doing a lot of this. We're pointing at us. We'll have three fingers pointed back at them.
It's very true.
Anyways, so their Facebook went to the government saying, hey, there's this COVID misinformation and it looks like it's the military and it looks like it's y'all.
It also, you can't do that. That violates.
You can't do that. Yeah. The military argued that the accounts were being used for counterterrorism and asked Facebook not to take down the content. And they just didn't stop. They just continued on. And it continued into 2021, into when Biden took office. Mm-hmm. They had a conversation with administration where things got tense. That's the way that the article describes it. And eventually, it seems like by the spring of 2021, the NSC, the National Security Council, ordered the military to stop all anti-vax messaging. Quote, we were told we needed to be pro-vaccine, pro-all vaccine.
And then it took like a couple other months for them to actually get them to stop.
Yeah, for sure. They definitely did not stop immediately. And then after all this, they are now trying to blame like the contracting IT contractor that they contracted this out to, and they're like, oh, they just didn't do a good enough of a job. And yet, in February, the contractor that worked on the anti-vax campaign, General Dynamics IT, won $493 million contract. Its mission
re-upped.
To continue providing clandestine influence services for the military. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is real. Wow. Way to go, Reuters.
Good job, Reuters. Much.
It's,
jeez Louise.
It's really not often that... it's really not often where... Wow.
Yeah.
They did that. Mm.
And just...
Thoughts.
I mean, the thing that comes to mind for me is that... So, obviously, the U.S. mishandled the pandemic.
That's a hot take right there.
Is it? No,
it's... I could see that.
Didn't
see that.
Both, you know, within the U.S. borders and without, you know? Both ways... Guys, room for improvement, okay? that's your performance grade. That's like barely passing. We're going to put together a performance improvement plan. So obviously, like, didn't handle it great. But also, like, it's that thing where, you know, if I'm doing bad, I have to make you do bad too, you know? When China was also had the resources to work on this vaccine and was wanting to share it, you know? And they're like, oh, well, they're trying to get geopolitical clout off of this. It's like, millions of people are dying.
Well, even if they are trying to get clout, let them get clout. Like,
yeah.
Like, let them get, okay, they're not getting clout.
Well, they earned it, you know?
It's
earned. It's not stolen, you know?
It's a good, it's a good deed, so they'll get, you know, they'll get clout off of it.
Oh, people are going to like them because they saved people's lives. Hell, you had life-saving tech.
But in order to just basically for, you know, like the spheres of influence and all of this, and it's people die because of this. This is not, and we don't know about this. It's not, you know, and think of how, just to think all around the world, people think that Americans just like co-sign on all this. We're like, oh yeah, this is great. America first. It's just so misleading. And also nothing about this was America first in the way that they, you know, handled everything within the borders, you know, as you were saying.
Yeah, no, totally. Mm. And that it was all, I mean, it's also all profit-driven.
Yeah, you know? And with Trump and his, you know, sayings and his things that he was repeating over and over again that, you know, we were taking it, like, as a joke or like, oh, he's just being A, B, and C. Little did we know we were saying this because he might have been seeing this in briefings.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, it's sort of like, you know, if you get in a fight with your sibling and they, like, pinch you and you, like, decked them, you know? It's like, well, they pinched me first. Like, China was saying that America made the virus. It's like, okay. But you like made multiple nations of people not trust the resources they were trying to offer to keep people alive. That's worse.
Meanwhile, with the other side of her mouth saying like, you want to kill people if you don't get vaccinated here, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what were you doing? You know, like, and big ups to Reuters on this one.
Yeah. And the article also talks about, you know, how dangerous and how there is experience with how dangerous trying to create a psyop to make people not trust vaccines, how dangerous that really is. Because was it in Afghanistan that they talked about in this article that they actually ran something like this before? There was like they made a fake polio scare or something to try to find Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, like fake clinics and they were trying
to try to get people to turn out for it. And that wasn't real. And then when there actually was like a disease outbreak that was... I think it is polio.
Hepatitis.
Oh, yeah, it was the fake one was hepatitis. The real one, I think, is polio.
In Pakistan,
thank you. That actually, did a whole bunch of damage to the idea of keeping people from getting a disease that we've cured.
You think it's for example, with this story, it's, you know, COVID, it's anti-vax misinformation around the COVID-19 vaccine, but it could be the other vaccines too. It doesn't just start and end there. So, or I guess it starts here, but it doesn't end here.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, just kidding, we're sorry. Because there's that trust, and everyone always talks about how there's the erosion of trust in it. Well, look what they're doing, and now we know. So, yeah, of course there's going to be like a distrust, and it's not coming from nowhere, and it in a way makes people who are on the fringes sound like they have a case.
Yeah.
You know, like, what the hell?
And it changes the whole discourse to,
oh, totally.
not that, you know, this could never happen, but here we need specific evidence about why this isn't happening,
right,
in
yeah.
this case, because this is something that the Pentagon did. What a nefarious little shape, huh?
It's,
what are they up to? And also,
throwing shade, indeed.
Wait, let me try to quote that line. I think I did. But calling it throwing shade, we were sort of throwing shade in the Philippines and Central Asia about. It's like, no, that doesn't really cover it.
And so were they?
You didn't diss China's vaccine.
Then when Americans were dissing the vaccine, were they also just throwing shade, or were they doing something that could, like, get them banned off the internet? You know, like,
right.
What the heck, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's such a good point, where it completely changes the discourse of, like, a vaccine efficacy versus, like, how can we actually, you know, whatever, A, B, and
There's
C.
There's plenty of conversations to be had
to
about the merits
up,
of it, you know?
Is this a psyops? You know,
right.
like, oh my God, this is where the needle has moved to. Like, that's
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
Of our own making.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
I also get the sense from this report and others, other things that we've read, that, like, it kind of seems like, and this is, again, not being involved in any of, like, military governance or anything, I feel like the Pentagon is, like, jealous of every other agency that gets to do spying and gets to do covert stuff that, like, they don't get to. And they, like, really want to have a hand on the ball, because this isn't the CIA. It's not the NSA. It's not the FBI. Just the Pentagon. They're like, what if we did one? And they're going to be they're not even full-fledged federal employees. They're contractors. They don't get federal health insurance for this kind of work. We're not going to Tampa.
Someone is thinking of that. We're not going to Tampa. This is... Oh, that's Florida. I'm going to say this is not Texas, but it's Florida.
It's,
never mind. Is there a Texas?
Is there a Tampa, Texas?
I'm thinking of something. Somewhere. It's in the South. It's hot.
It's muggy, and they got nothing better to do than to try to spread disinformation in the Philippines.
Wow. Shocking.
Awful.
This is still on the internet. It's from Reuters.
Tammy's like, they're letting you still read this.
I'm shocked that it's still on here. It's a Reuters investigation titled "Pentagon Ran Secret Anti-Vax Campaign to Undermine China During Pandemic." It's mind-blowing. I laughed. I cried. I lost 15 pounds. Gained it all back. Couldn't believe it. Hyperventilating.
Found myself.
Lost myself. Found myself again. Amazing. Great article.
Good stuff.
We have some more stuff before we're so close to getting to the bottom of it. See, I told you we were going
to
talk about this.
We had a lot to say about this one.
Oh, yeah.
But should we turn to some local stuff?
Yeah, sure. Sounds
okay.
good.
Well, wanted to mention that the contract extension for the Joint Office of Homeless Services, that is up for renewal. The county commission voted it in last week, but city council still sort of deliberating on it. The Joint Office of Homeless Services, of course, is this, like, intergovernmental partnership between Portland and Multnomah County to try to pool homeless dollars and resources and get it out to where it needs to go. And a little bit of history. I mean, it's only been around since 2016. There's some pretty damning audits that have come out in the past year or two that don't necessarily quantify accurately the impact that the dollars have had. There's also tales of, like, pettiness over contracting. So even, you know, parting out the money to these community organizations that are doing the work, they're going to quibble a $1,000 contract over, like, $25 that got spent on toilet paper or something. They're like, where's the receipt on this? We actually can't.
Oh, right. They weren't giving their contract. Because
we can't give you
the
money to operate the shelter that you operate.
They give the money for on-the-ground operators to help in different ways, or service providers, unless you don't have that $25 receipt for toilet paper. Do you know when they're going to finalize this budget or this contract?
So I think that that's going to be it's likely that there's going to be a vote next week, but the city added amendments, so the county will have to vote on it again. And clock is ticking, folks. This contract, the prior contract, expires on the 30th.
Is it? So this is going to be before
Ted Wheeler becomes the mayor of everything.
Before he becomes the mayor of everything.
Could he?
So
do, do you have any ideas? If could he? Let's say this happens after, like, after the first.
Yeah.
After he becomes the mayor of everything.
Uh-huh.
Would this? This would fully. Would this still fully fall on him, or would this still, like?
No, I mean, this. It's still like a legislative decision. They okay. still. They still do have to vote it in.
So this would be one of the things they would still have to do.
Yeah. But look. A lot of time freed up. A lot of questions that could be.
Think of all the questions Renee could ask.
Oh boy, I was watching some of the city council meeting yesterday, and he was saying a lot of, "Well, but what is Clackamas County doing? And what's this over here?" He crafted some amendments that basically say none of the city dollars that go towards this can be used for tents, tarps, or harm reduction materials, including, like, you know, needles and stuff. Mm. That he wants in there. And he was very concerned about, like, but what's the teeth in it? What's the teeth in the partnership? Which, like...
What's the teeth in the...
The teeth, like if we don't meet our goals, we have to burn it down, kind of a thing.
Oh, because teeth bite. Oh, God. So how can I bite you if this
how
doesn't
can,
work?
How can we sort of hurt ourselves?
Yeah.
And granted, like, it is important... I, to the extent that criticism is about, we need to have metrics for how well it's performing... Totally agree. But to the extent of, does this contract that we're negotiating for the next 3 years, how does it say that we can get out of the contract? Can we get more into how to undo the contract with pulling on one thread kind of thing?
He's got one foot in it. You know, he's not fully into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Well, we'll see. Hopefully we'll have some updates next week.
Yeah.
And the... First of the month is when Ted Wheeler, I guess he becomes King Wheeler. Can we say that? Can we say that on the air?
he's the administrator, the chief administrator.
See,
now.
That's
he's got everything.
That
he's,
just he's that got all is the bureaus. Different word for he got all the bureaus.
he's gonna control the water bureau and only give me the distilled water at my apartment.
I have a leak. He can come look at.
You, yeah, and here's the thing. Now you'll know it's directly anything that goes wrong after July 1st, any city bureau that doesn't get back to you, it's directly Ted Wheeler's fault.
You know,
forget the maze.
The water bureau is actually one of the ones that people in that Insight survey were saying that they had the most issues with or knew the least about. Which is so I don't know. He could.
Well,
he could,
I know
this is his chance.
Water's wet. Start there.
Water makes things wet.
Whoa.
Water is not wet. It makes things wet.
Whoa. Okay. Are you allowed to say that? Call the Water Bureau. Get them to weigh in.
Speaking of limericks and and word puzzles.
Okay.
I don't know.
Are we? Go on.
Oak Park lawsuit.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Atmosphere. Definitely fearing. You want to talk about it some
Oh,
more?
Sure. Yeah. Last Friday, there were a bunch of people. So the Atmosphere ride, they call it a pendulum ride.
Mm.
And there's a bunch of people and you're like sort of in a circle. You're strapped the hell in. And the ride malfunctioned and they were suspended 50 feet in the air upside down.
Oh, is that the thing? It's like a circle and it goes up and then flips over or something?
I think it like rocks back and forth.
Oh my God.
Or like swings all the way up to the top. And it swung all the way up to the top and then was stuck there for a half hour.
Ugh.
Screaming, crying, throwing up. Terrifying. That's not an exaggeration. But that's like...
That's terrible. That's like rereading that Reuters article.
Yeah. And these people are like... You know, saying goodbye and
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
And thinking that they were going to die. And these are like, a lot of them kids.
Yeah, like 14
years old. 14 years old. Everybody got back down to the ground safe. Firefighters did a good job on that. They were able to, and the, you know, the ride is now closed, but all these kids, you know, like broken blood vessels in their faces, their eyes totally bloodshot, like big bruises where the straps were and everything. First lawsuit. Coming out.
I'm stressed out just describing this.
Yeah.
27 other riders. Wow.
Important part of this article where they talk about so it's one of the moms of those kids that was the one to file this lawsuit. And is this the one that has the good quote? Partially motivated by how Oaks Park's management responded. I don't know if you saw this part of the article.
Oh, I don't know if it was this on article, but please do tell. I'll find the other one.
Oh, okay, yeah. They were basically talking about how it might have been the Willamette Week one, I want to say, but that the mom who's filed this lawsuit was saying that, you know, when they get everybody off the ride, you know, they kind of like corral everybody who was up there for that long, you know, get them checked out by paramedics, and then, you know, like the manager or the CEO or whoever was like, oh yeah, you know, we could probably get you guys a free day pass. Like that was gonna make it better, or like just kind of blew it off. Not even sure that I could get you a free day pass for fearing for your life for a half hour, screaming, crying, throwing up, broken blood vessels in your eyeballs. You might get to come in for free. Forget the fee.
I popped it on there for you.
Thank you.
Oh, you have to read it for it. This is okay. Funny.
You should read it. Read it.
They said, "We might be able to get you a free day pass or something." And the kids are staring at him, dumbfounded. Then he said, "We definitely hope you'll come back to the park, and we even hope you'll go on the ride again." The kids laughed when he said that. Those kids are still covered in vomit, traumatized and shaking. And he's saying, "We hope you come back and go back on the ride." I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. And also, there's a little clarification that Evie... It does not plan on using her free day pass to Oaks Park. Yonevata. Sorry if I'm not saying that right. But yes, I would imagine that she
on, and this is like their eighth grade graduation. They all
Park. It is good. It's like graduation time.
Yeah. So, I mean, look.
Yikes.
I feel like, I don't know if you go to school to be an amusement park manager. I do feel like, you know, client sensitivity when something bad happens.
Customer service 101.
Come on. At least indicate that you'll do anything to make them happy. And then, you know, renege on the promise later so that at least there's a couple weeks in between. Hey, all these people are in danger. Hey, they got down safely. We're getting sued, you know? Try to avert the lawsuit.
It's the...
And how much is a day pass to Oaks Park, by the way? Is that even a good deal?
I'd like to say, we might be able to do a free day pass or something.
Or something. You go, oh, well, I mean, we could throw in a corn dog.
I was going to say, they have food, you know? I guess they also have the rolling, the skate... Oh, I don't know. I really don't know how you get back. But I don't think any of that can, like, add up to the equivalence of that experience.
No, certainly.
Are you looking
not.
Up how much a day pass?
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what the monetary value is that he would ascribe. Let's see. Tickets. Buy now. Okay, well, I'm not actually going to buy tickets. I just want to know.
No, I just want to know.
Okay, if you're tall, okay, it's like $50 if you're tall. And if you're a little shorter, it's $25.
Wow. That's a massive difference.
Well, I think it limits what you can go on. So, yikes. Is this what they talk about? Like emotional distress?
Oh, and so far the amusement has only given a refund for Evie's ride bracelet.
Like, well, here's your $50 back. Sorry about that. It's like, jeez Louise.
I think Evie's 14, so I assume that it's a $25.
Well, I guess I think you have to be pretty tall to go on that ride. So I think it's
gotcha.
You're like, oh, never mind. $50 value? That's worth it.
Shout out police department. Or sorry, shout out fire department.
Yeah. They said they've been drilling having to rescue people from these rides as like last year. So they were ready for it.
I'm shocked that they went on it. I wouldn't.
They didn't have to do like the high line rescue. They were able to get the ride to come down. But and then now they're like, hey, guys, don't worry. It's closed. We're going to try to figure out what happened here. It's like, yeah.
Fire department is working overtime this past week.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah, right up the street from the infamous, there are a lot of onlookers, the propane fire, truck fire.
Tammy has eyewitness video of this.
Yeah, it was terrifying. Did I handle it well? Not at all. did we all think terrible things? Yes.
A bunch of propane tanks fall off the back of a truck at like 3 a.m.
I don't think
on I-5 or what happened?
We're not sure exactly what happened, but around 3:30, 3:40, woke up, heard a bunch of noises. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just some raccoons or something, didn't think much of it. About 20 minutes later, I woke up again because it was a louder noise, and I'm like, oh gosh, someone is trying to get in the yard.
Mm.
And I what did I do? I got up and I kind of looked out the window, and I didn't see anything. And then I look in the other side and just right into the eyes of Mount Doom.
Yeah.
Fire clouds, massive.
Yeah.
And I start shaking, crying.
Yeah.
Hyperventilating.
Of course.
I don't know what I was doing.
Explosions.
Try to call 911. They're not answering. They're busy. And I'm.
It's 3 a.m. It's their night off.
I guess it's their night off. I don't know what is happening. Then they. I don't know. And then they call me back. I'm thinking, oh, thank God. Okay, they're calling me back. I can tell. No. It's a recording saying, hey, it sounded like you were like on the phone with us, but you may have hung up. So just hold on. This is a recorded line. Hold on, and we'll get back to you. It's like, no. And they hung up. I hung up. They call again. Meanwhile, I'm trying to call the neighbor. Anyways, it was terrifying. Thankfully, no one got hurt.
Oh, my God.
It was for in the fire department. They had little drones out.
Wow.
I imagine being a person who sees something like that and be going into it.
Yeah.
It's a different type of the bravery, the courage.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. I mean, I was shocked. And the driver, because he didn't hit anything so far, the reports are saying that he didn't do any crimes because he didn't hit anything. So it wasn't like a hit and run. I think it's like the gas companies trying to like cover their butts on this some way. Because I'm like, well, did you call the cops?
Explode and melt an on ramp onto I-5. That doesn't seem right.
And who's paying for it, Althea?
Thank you.
Who's paying for it?
Thank you. Well, okay, I had two thoughts about this as I was coming in this morning because you told me this yesterday, and I was shocked.
Mm.
And terrified for you retroactively from earlier this week.
The explosion. I could hear the windows shake.
That's wild. Yeah. Mm. It's wild. Mm. But that one makes me nervous about the idea of capping that part of the freeway in like the Rose Quarter area because it did melt through the asphalt.
It did, yes. That's for like 12 hours they were repairing it. And it was maybe, I don't know, 20 feet away from the underpass.
Yeah.
So it was like, it could have, and if there was a wind gust, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Woof. Yeah. Extremely, extremely lucky. The other thing I thought of, you know, I'm a little bit of an AI skeptic,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they have cameras all up and down I-5 because they want to watch traffic. So you tell me you can't have an AI say like, oh, fire. Oh, huge fire on the road. Maybe we should, because it sounds like it was going for a while before anybody did anything about it.
I have no clue. But it did sound like something was afoot for a while because my dog kept waking up and I kept waking up and I, you know, it was like, it's summertime. I'm thinking it's just like people walking around knocking trash cans over or something. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until it was straight up explosions
because
the gas. And then afterwards we saw it was like gas tanks all over, across everywhere on the highway. Wow.
Careful with propane.
Yes, definitely careful with propane. For sureies.
I would also
say, especially
like,
in the summertime now, because it freezes. And then I had my neighbor, Willie, explain to me all about propane, because he used to drive those bad boys for 25
no
years,
way.
He told me. I said, shoot, what do you think happened? He said, it's a mistake, you know? That's what happens. It's an accident. Accidents aren't called on purposes. They're called an accident.
That's very true. Well, I think also a little bit of a lesson, don't tailgate trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Do not tailgate. Like, oof. I mean, that it happened at 3 in the morning is lucky. In that
this
sense.
Is like the final destination. Like every millennial was like, this is a final destination moment.
Oof.
This is what we were made for this moment. I think maybe that's why no one was hurt. Thank God no one was hurt. Woof.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You ready for a little break?
Yeah.
A little midway song?
Yes.
You are listening to The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We're going to take a little musical break. We'll come back for the phones. See you in a moment.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
impossible to fake. When someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me.
And we are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. It's about 8:40, and we are opening up the phone lines for the community question.
I always like it when you say it in that voice.
Yeah, in my head, there's a circus.
Whoa, community question.
Coming at you right now.
Remember the wheel noise?
Sherry, she killed it with that.
Sherry did
so
such a
good
job. Shout out Sherry. Not here today. We miss you. You want to tell us about the question?
Sure. So this comes on the heels of, I heard that the, I always say German central, it's Surgeon General. Don't have some sort of problem.
It's the German central.
Surgeon General.
Yes.
Is talking mental health. He wants to put a... okay, first of all, this is how it starts. Surgeon General, why I'm calling for a warning label on all social media platforms. So I click on it because I'm like, whoa, this is insane. And of course, it's New York Times and there's a paywall. So I guess it's not so much of a national security threat, excuse me, of a health issue as we thought it is. Yeah. Is it, Althea?
No, I suppose not.
I just realized this. Why, if it's such a warning, why is it behind a paywall?
At least every other place that reported on it quoted on it, quoted his op-ed extensively. But basically, he's making the argument that there ought to be similar to the warnings that you see on cigarettes that say, hey, bad for you. That's maybe not exactly what they say. It might be a poor characterization. That wanting to do the same thing with social media, especially for teens, that this is not... that this is, you know, can cause anxiety and depression and or worsen all of those things if that's already something that you're dealing with.
They're saying that right now, I think the age minimum age for social media users in the U.S. is 13.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that nearly 40% of children ages 8 to 12 are also using social media, which they shouldn't be. They legally, according to social media guidelines, they shouldn't be because it's not meant for them. But there's a lot of pretty great concerns when it comes to mental health, and healthcare experts are saying that it's kind of detrimental, especially to the mental health of youth, of the youth. That why I sound like such an old fart saying that. A lot of negative impact on children and adolescents, and that there should be some sort of warning label. But also, in these articles that they cite from like the National Health Institute and stuff, there's also positive impacts on children and young adults and adolescents from social media. You know, just, you know, you find communities and you connect in different ways and you can learn things. You know, you can definitely learn new things. You have your... the world's information at your disposal.
Yeah.
But also, so to combat this or to mitigate this or to just bring us back into ourselves and to connect, the Surgeon General has activities for us.
Oh. Activities, you say?
Yes, it's the 5-5, the connecting channel. Every day, the challenge. Every day. I can't get into this darn article, Althea. You go ahead.
There's a 5-for-5 connection challenge that we found. I did take a screenshot of some of the ideas and put it in our little document if you want to look at that. But, you know, trying to bring us back to real life. And maybe some of our listeners, you know, you're listening to the radio. You're not deep in the dregs of YouTube right now. Maybe you're somebody who's good at connecting in real life. But there's a bunch of ideas for what some of that connection could look like. And there was this like challenge to have people connect in real life once a day and then write down how it made you feel. So our question is connecting in real life. What's going on with that?
Connect IRL.
Connect IRL. We want to know your thoughts. Maybe there's some hacks, some tricks, some motivation. We'd love to hear it. The phone line is open, 503-231-8187. I'm going to rattle off all the ways you can connect with us. Instagram, at The Gap Radio. Send us a message. You can also email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. We also have the web chat. So kbu.fm, click on that chat with us button. Let us know what you think.
Amazing. Thank you, Althea. Connecting. How do you connect? And some of the things that they had in the Connect 5 challenge is expressing gratitude. So different ways that you can express gratitude. Offering support, different ways that you can offer support, and also ask for or accept help.
Mm.
It's a big one.
It's big. Challenging, I would say. I like that they say call, text, or send a note, tell someone you're grateful they're in your life.
That's a good one.
I love getting mail. I would love to get a card. And there are people in my life who send me cards, but you know, I can reflect on myself and say how much I enjoy getting a little note of like, thinking of you, thought this cat was cute, ding, you know, sending that off, that I ought to be doing that more for other people.
And there's something, because I get memes and videos from my friends a lot on social media, or they just like text me videos when I'm not on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because I'm like, but when I'm off of social media and they have to text it to me, I appreciate it more because I know that it wasn't just in a press of a button. They just went up to my social media account and just sent it. They had to like download the video or screenshot the video, wait for it to, you know, using up space in their own personal camera roll and send it to me. Wait for it to upload and send it my way.
Yeah.
And that means, so imagine, like a letter or something would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, and you know all the junk you get in the mail, junk mail, bills.
Yeah. Political campaign
ads. Political campaign ads. Wouldn't it be nice to hear from your friend?
503-231-8187. It would be nice to hear from our friends. So call on in.
And here's, that's the thing. That is exactly it. If you want to connect right now, you can. Call, message, any of it. We'd love to hear. We'd love to hear what's going on.
Another point that they have in the offer support column is volunteer with a local organization that's important to you.
Mm.
I had to go, they said, go touch grass years and years ago. And I was in my car. I think it was post-mating. And I was very sad. And I was like, oh, this radio show is like kind of funny. What is this? And it was John Slaughter, I think. I forgot the name of the show. They're not on anymore.
Mm.
But I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. They have like all these different funky things and then a different show after them. I'm like, whoa, what is this funky radio show? And lo and behold, it was KBU Community Radio. Mm. And they were talking about how there's a volunteer orientation. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, my life completely changed that, you know, when I got involved. And here I am connecting with the people.
Connecting with the people. Yeah. Tammy and I would never probably have become friends. If
Oh, yeah, for sure. In what crossroads? 503-231-8187. We are talking about ways to connect. Connect IRL with your friends, with yourself, with your community. Some of the different options that we had from the Surgeon General is expressing gratitude, five ways to do that, offering support, and also asking or accepting support, which, you know, can be difficult for some, but if you write it down, it's more likely that you'll do it. And it sounds like we might have someone on the line with us.
Dante, can you hear us?
Yeah, sure can.
All right.
Nice talking to you. Beautiful day. And always enjoy your humor. It's great. And, you know, I hate to admit this, but I do believe that I missed the community question. And that's okay. I really wasn't calling about that anyway. I just wanted to mention something that, you know, I'd like to put out for, because you asked what's going on today. I heard something on Democracy Now! This morning that was just, it was riveting. And if anybody wants to hear that, it's snippets of a documentary called The Night Won't End. Be prepared to cry, though. You will. But it's kind of what's going on. So I thought I would just put that out there.
Thank you, Dante. Would you like to answer our community question? I'm more than happy to ask it.
Oh, okay, sure.
A way to connect in real life, physically, or, you know, spiritually.
Oh, my God.
Mentally, emotionally, but in real life.
Okay, you know, I'm gotten kind of hermitized, So I'm going to have a hard time answering that one. You know, okay, I suppose that if you can be involved in something that is mutually interesting with a group, then that will work. I mean, that's pretty much, I'm out there riding my bike by myself and doing all this crazy stuff, skiing. But I do have a karate class that I teach, and those folks are, they're like family, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
So I have that.
Very cool. I love that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
All right. You have a great day.
Have a good one. Bye.
I think that's offering support, you know? You teaching someone to do a skill. I love that.
Yeah.
Because connecting in real life, teachers, you know, the lessons that we learn, you know, in our path towards our destination.
Whoa. You said destination, and then I start thinking about how you said final
destination.
So we're not talking about that.
None of that. 503-231-8187. Teaching, yeah, that's offering support.
Yeah, definitely. You know? I did a little bit of a sort of community service works project the other day with Village Building Convergence, which I believe is still going on today and tomorrow. excuse me, helping to varnish to sand and varnish this whole trellis in this sort of community area. That was cool. You get to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, so it's also nice to converse when you have something going on with your hands.
Yes, that's, yes. I think a million-dollar idea right there.
Whoa.
I think you're onto something. Because I hate it when I have to talk to people I don't know, friends of friends for the first time, and I have nothing. I just got to look at them in the eye. I don't know you. I'm going to look you in the eye like this. Like, I got
to
fidget with something, or we got to be here for a reason. How do you know the person? You don't need to know how I know them.
That's between me and them. Thank you very much. maybe like a knitting circle or something.
Knitting circle. Definitely enjoy like what's meetup groups. Those are great. You know, and just because you try something once, it doesn't mean you gotta love it. Like, let's say you're really into knitting, and you get into this knitting club, and then you're like, I don't know, just something here isn't right. I think that people have a tendency to think there's something wrong with them, where it's like, no, that's not your tribe. More than one thing to be able to have a friendship. And, but sometimes one thing is also enough, and you can build off of that. It's just fascinating.
We certainly can. And Connie's on the line. Hi, Connie.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. I heard you for the first time this morning. I wanted to say I think you're hilarious, both of you. Are you millennials? Is that your age group?
A little bit.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little on the cusp, depending on who you ask.
Okay. Well, I think you're finally jaded, meaning I think that there's a lot to be jaded about these days, and you give good support for yourself and your thinking, and I enjoyed listening to you, and I will find you again.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Do you have so we're trying to ask people, like, connecting in real life, for those of us, for the people who forgot how to do it, do you have any thoughts or advice about how to get started?
Okay. This is a little bizarre. I got a book once about self-hypnosis.
Okay.
And one of the things it said in there was, try to smile when you see people. When you're just walking down the road, maybe not New York City, in a nice, safe environment. And if you're in the store and you look at a clerk or whatever, just smile. And I did that. I hypnotized myself to do that. And I will tell you, it makes a big difference. People smile right back. It's amazing.
It's true. It's true. I'm taking that, writing that one down.
There you go. Okay.
Well, thank you, Connie. We appreciate it. You have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
It's interesting. Whenever we have these questions where we ask people, you know, these questions that seem like they're so, not far-fetched from us, but so, you know, layered for us. It's always the simplest little things, like, just smile when you look at people. You see these tiny little changes that you... I'm going to start singing that song.
Yeah.
You know, someday somebody's going to turn around and say goodbye In 2 days? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was ready for you to keep going. I had something to add. That this is a thought I was having the other day related to... Well, I was watching Love Island.
Oh, God.
Which isn't, like, you know, great for whatever. But, you know, people are trying to have conversations. They're trying to connect as friends. They're trying to connect romantically. You know, that's a thing. But the thing that it made me realize is that conversation is not just about... you know, listing similarities.
Mm.
It's also about delving into our differences.
Mm.
And so many of these people are like, well, we kept saying the same thing, or like,
Yeah.
They didn't like that. And it's like, well, but you could explore how it's different. It's different.
I find also, and it's, you know, just learning and how to, because being a good conversationalist is also something that you learn and pick up, especially if you do radio. You just, if you see that people are saying something and maybe their eyes kind of light up real quick as they were telling a story, dive deeper into that. Ask them, why you seemed really excited when you were talking about that story. Where would that excitement come from? You
know? When was the first time you did that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have Joe on the line. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Joe, can you hear us okay?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, thanks for this. I have several things. I liked what y'all were just now saying. I like to ask people how they're doing, and then, like, with the intention of genuinely listening and drawing that out.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can turn into a whole, like, you know, like, 2-hour conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was a little bothered by the, can I offer a few points of disagreement about some of the things you said earlier?
About the connecting part, or?
Yeah, different things.
Sure. How about you do one, and then we might have to move on, because we're running out of time.
Okay. Well, just that the question was about in real life, and, you said, but then the things that you offered initially were like sending someone a text message or something. And I'm like, well, that's still on a screen. So I like to put my phone away for, you know, 24 or 48 hours and like go out. And the other thing I wanted to say just real quick about like trying something, like actually anything new that we try that we're not really familiar with already is gonna feel weird and uncomfortable. And that's just going through, that's like everything in life. But the thing is that by the time we get to be an adult, like most things have pretty transferable skills and experiences. So even something that's new isn't totally new. But when we do try something that really is totally new, it's going to be that weird, uncomfortable learning curve from back when we were a kid all over again.
Very true. Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate your comment. We got to move on to our next person. Yeah. Barbara, you have a good rest of your day. Barbara, how you doing? Oh, dear. Okay, one sec.
It's all good.
Let me see if I can get Barbara on the other line.
Barbara, we're trying to connect with you in real life right now. And it's, you know, little baby stuff sometimes.
Okay, Barbara, can you talk now? Maybe?
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
I did it. All right, you got to go quick because we got to wrap.
Okay, so real quick, I'm going to say something I learned taking my dog to the dog park, and that is I want to reinforce, smile, and say good morning to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good start. And then I'm going to give one other, and it's how to reconnect with your, like, teenagers, right?
Mm.
And that idea is that something we observed that driving with them is really good, and going to something where they have to exercise real hard, they might say nothing to you, but coming home, I don't know if it's, you know, what the result of the exercise, but sometimes you can't stop them from talking.
Aww.
That's great. I love those pointers. Well, thank you, Barbara. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Pointers for myself. Interesting.
Well, this has been The Gap.
We are just about finished, but Veteran Voice is up next, so stay tuned for that. Thrilled and pleasure to be here. Please enjoy your day. It's going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. Another lovely day. Thank you, Althea. You're the best.
You're the best. Are you kidding?
Thank you. I'm Tammy. We miss you, Sherry. We'll see you next week.
We'll be back. Bye.
Bye.
listener-supported community radio, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, in the beautiful Willamette Valley.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation